your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Bright the cheeks and warm the heart, for tread the circle thrice about to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, merry meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. We've got a really interesting guest tonight. It's Dr. Christopher Macklin. Now, he's an author, health and wellness practitioner, medical intuitive and healer, and paranormal conduit. He works with thousands of clients on a monthly basis internationally, and he provides a full range of healing services that address a spectrum of physical, mental, and emotional issues. He and his wife, Amanda, have founded the Global Enlightenment Project to serve an awakening humanity and to support the healing needs of people all over the earth. Now, while Dr. Macklin wears several hats and each topic could be a show in of itself, tonight we're going to be talking about soul families, how to find your way back home. So for those of you who are listening live in the Para-X chat room, you know that questions and comments on our guests are very welcome. And if you're not in the chat room and want to be, find us at paraxradionetwork.com. Dr. Macklin, welcome to the show.
Oh, bless you, Marla. Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm glad you think so. That's a great way to start out.
Yay! Now,
before we jump into soul families, let's get started with a little bit of backstory on yourself. I mean, your gifts came to you during your childhood. So how did they evolve into where you are now? Because you're really busy.
Well, it's kind of... it started when I was born. It's interesting because... One thing I would say about starseed people, if you're listening, is that it's really important to realize that, you know, the negative beings try and mess with you from the day you're born. So, and, you know, when I was four, I suddenly realized I could see things that people couldn't see. But when I was born, I had eight strokes, believe it or not. Mm. One of the traumas, then I burnt my back at the age of four really badly. I was in hospital for a year. And different things happened over the life. You think, oh, wow, you know, they were after me from the day I was born. Wow. And my answer is, stop it. It's not okay.
Really?
Stop it, yeah. But it's interesting. At the age of four, you know, I could see things. The first memory I have is I saw a big old Anunnaki being, you know, which is a reptilian creature. They're in the fourth dimension. They can switch in this dimension, but very often I realized I could see through the dimension. So the thing was in my room. I shout, Dad, Dad! There's a reptilian in the corner of my room. Comes running up. What is it, darling? Where? You know, it's one of his bad dreams again. But it wasn't. I realized that the thing was there. Mm. And I learned to manage them, even at that age. You know, I said, you better leave my room right now. And it went. I thought, oh, that worked. You know, and anyway, you know, you move forward. I could see ships in the sky, different things. And, of course, they thought it was my imagination. Well, it's not, you know. But anyway, so you move forward. Severely dyslexic, you know, my father thought I was thick, and because, of course, in England, you know, if you're no good at spelling, let me tell you, I'm terrible at spelling. I spell things that badly, even Word, on the spell checker can't find them.
Oh, God.
Now, you know that's bad. You know?
That's so, definitely bad, yes.
And when I read, it's interesting, only till, you know, only just recently, you know, I read and, you know, when you read a sentence, of course, with dyslexia, you miss things out. And oh, that doesn't make sense. Let's read it again. So what you're doing, really, is you're focusing on the actual sentence itself instead of the content. And Mandy turned around to me and went, why are you trying to lead? It's not your gift. Oh, you're right. You know, why am I leading? I'll lead to you. So now I don't have to bother with it, you know. And one thing I learned is we've all got gifts. Don't try and do something. It's not your gift because, you know, you'll struggle with it, you know. And spelling is definitely not my gift and I struggle with it. But that's okay. But anyway, you know, what happened, you know, when I was about in my 16, 18s, you know, I went to get a degree and master's degree, electronic software control systems, worked on autopilots, worked on different things. Couldn't stand it, you know. Almost, I don't want the word hate, but I couldn't stand my job. I thought, every time I went to work, I thought, there's got to be something better than this, you know. Anyway, I spent 20-odd years in corporate, you know, Philips, Consumer Electronics, different places. And then I started building, went bankrupt. And by goodness, that was the best thing that happened to me. Everything fell apart, my marriage, the lost my house, everything, you know. And I remember being in the middle of Manchester, and I was sitting there thinking, well, this is not funny, you know. I said, God, this is not funny. What's going on? I said, I remember them saying it's the right time. What do you mean it's the right time? It's the right time, you'll see. And by goodness, I did see. And it taught me everything. It taught me not to hang on to stuff, houses, furniture, whatever. And it taught me a lot about gratitude because, you know, during that period of about 3 or 4 years, I went through stages where I had no money even for food and 21 days without food. And of course, you know, because you've got this powerless, well, not all of us, I did then, have this powerless victim mentality. Well, I don't want to ask anybody because it's up to me to sort it out. And I didn't ask anybody, and I just went without food. And, you know, then I really learned about manifestation. And after that, things turned around, and I moved from UK to the US. And, you know, then obviously, you know, open the Crystal Macklin Ministries, which is now the Global Lightman Project, is a project of the ministry. It's a 501c3, and it just took off. But I also remember, which I think is a really important thing for people, is that, you know, build it, they'll come, so they say. So I sat there, opened the office, build it, they'll come. Well, where are they, you know? So I spent 3 months, where on earth are the clients, you know? They're not there, you know, And eventually I said, okay, God, what's going on? Where are they? They said, look, the gift is within. Get out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I remember going to the first place I ever went to. No one's ever heard of me. I'm just, you know, new to the US. Went to Unity Church in St. Petersburg in their, you know, in their shop. They've got a huge bookshop. And the thing was that busy. They had to lock the doors to not let people in. And I was thinking, why do people want to come see me? And I realized that, you know, it's all about the energy around you. You know, it really is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I went there, did a, you know, presentation. It took off from there, and I traveled all over the United States and, you know, done a lot of work, traveled to Europe and went to different expos. And, you know, today, you know, we work something of the region. We do, I don't know, 15, 20,000 healing sessions a month. A week, not a month, a week.
Oh, wow.
You know, if you look at YouTube, the channel, Global Lightman Project, and Facebook, you know, we stream it 3 times a week because one thing I learned is that it's really important to make sure if people don't have any money, they still get a healing. And that's really dear to me. Yeah. So, you know, of course, we do loads of one-to-ones. We do specialized groups. And we have a new protocol that can strip things out of the body, which is, you know, stealth pathogens and things like that. So it's coming a long way, but it took a lot of work, you know. So that's it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah, well, and the journey keeps on going. Just like here's a really bad segue. Just like our soul families, we keep on going. And one of these days that we're going to be talking, well, we won't be around, but somebody 20, 30, 50, 70, 100 years now, we're going to be in their soul family. So it's kind of something that we need to talk about. So basically, who are our soul families? Are they ancestors? Are they what?
Well, it's interesting. You know, there's a few types of people on this planet. There's people who are coming down to learn and learn again and learn again. And there's a lot of starseeds, what they call starseeds, of course. Now, you know, what are starseeds? Well, they're spiritually evolved people. If you think about what they did, you know, God says, I want volunteers. They ran to the queue and said, yeah, I'll volunteer to come down to Earth. And then you get down here, you think, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I was just going to say something to that effect. Yes.
What was I thinking? I would advise people, just on the funny side, I said, look, you know, if God asks for volunteers in the future, for heaven's sake, pretend you've got diarrhea, run to the toilet, lock the bathroom door, don't come out, and still go, so yeah, we've got all the volunteers, but, you know, I mean, I love it here, but I haven't always loved it. And what I'm finding with starseeds, how many people, you know, do you talk to each day, I don't belong here? Well, of course you don't. Because you're not from here. Your planet is elsewhere, either in the third dimensional world, fifth dimensional world, 12th dimension, whatever dimension. And, you know, you've volunteered to come down here, so you don't belong here. So why even try to bother fitting in? And I think people shame themselves sometimes. Well, nobody likes me. It's not the fact they don't like you. They just think you're a complete nutter wacko. And, you know, I've had that said to me, and I said, well, I love wacko. Yay! I want to be a wacko. Because, you know, we see things, you know, as a starseed people very differently. So what is the starseed family? The starseed family is actually where your soul's from. So, of course, you know, the human body's made up of, you know, 57, 58 DNA strands from different, you know, species of Palladians, Arcturians, Lemurians, you know, and, you know, it's made up as a human race. But where's your soul from? That's really important, because the family where your soul's from is your starseed family, who are there to support you. When you discover your gifts, you can then, you know, basically bring your gifts to the world. And I think that's a really important point. You know, don't ever ask, where am I from? Ask, where is my soul from? There's a big difference. And, you know, when you find your starseed family, another thing I would say to people is, when you find, you know, when you know what your starseed family are, you have to meditate and start connecting with them. Well, does that happen straight away? Oh, no. And I think what they do is they test you. You know, people always say God tests you to 1 second to 12. Well, you know, when I knew what starseed family I had, I meditated for something like 6 hours a day for probably a couple of years. But it took me 2 months to connect with the Melchizedek beings, because they think, oh, yeah, he's meditating again. Oh, yeah, he's meditating again. Eventually, they think, wow, he's pretty serious. Okay, let's connect. And they'll connect when they see you absolutely serious. That's one thing I learned a lot about starseed families, and, you know, we deal with a lot of people helping them find their, you know, their purpose and their starseed family, because I think it's important.
It is, and, you know, as you're talking about souls, you know, I've always wondered, how are souls created? I mean, you know, when people get born, you know, of course their soul is in them, but we know how people come out, but are new souls being made, if that's the right word, or created every time? Or are these souls that are, well, they had to be created at some point. So fill me in. I mean, I'm really kind of confused about where the souls come from.
Well, you know, of course, the prime creator creates the souls in the first place. But very often the star seeds come down here, you know, their higher self, which is the full complement of the soul, connects to the lower self, which gets fractals of it, and the soul comes down, you know, but it might be, I don't know, 20 million years old, you know, who knows? I've got a very old soul. It's a Melchizedek soul, and it was created at the time when this third dimensional world was created, and, you know, it was important for them that the Melchizedek beings were involved with this, in creating this third dimensional world, because their job places to police time-space and make sure, you know, the thing stays stable, and come down and try and help, like all starseeds, you know. And, of course, it's difficult to help because there's so much hijacking of different things, you know. You know, even a lot of spiritually evolved people, a lot of them are connecting to reptilian energy and reptilian reading. So they kind of, you get three truths, one lie. That's why I always encourage people, go with your intuition. It's really important. If you're getting a reading or you're listening to somebody on YouTube or whatever, go with your intuition. Does this resonate with me? If it doesn't, then switch it off. You know, if it resonates, then you know you're in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't trust themselves to, you know, trust their gut, as they say, because they don't have enough confidence to think that they're right. So how do you solve that?
Well, they don't. And I think, you know, if you look at what's happened in the past, you know, we've been taught that, you know, you're just a door wipe, you're a powerless victim. And, you know, a lot of the religions, you know, talk and to the point where you have to go through somebody to get to God. And, of course, that's not true. You know, you are a sovereign being, but you don't realize it. And very often, you know, I've suffered the same thing, powerless victim. Like, oh, woe is me and all this. And then when I manage to get over myself, understanding how the world works, what happens is as you get your vibration up, you know, like really high, and you release a load of emotion, because I've had abandonment issues, I've got OCD, I've got, you name it. I mean, most starseed people are on the spectrum because they don't fit in this world. So, of course, they've got ADD and, you know, Asperger's, and because they don't know how to what to do with this thing, you know, while we're here. But once you start to really understand it and you get an inner strength and you get your vibration up and you release a load of emotion, you start becoming a warrior where, you know, even if people say, oh, you know, he's nuts or whatever, it doesn't matter, you know, and I just keep blessing people. Never judge them, always bless them, love everybody. But I think you've also, to navigate this world, one of the really key instruments that, you know, I've learned is to set boundaries and not allow people who are going to suck your energy, you know. And, you know, if you're going out with somebody and you come back at night and you're absolutely exhausted, you know that that's probably the wrong person you should be around. Mm-hmm. And that's not judging them. That's just observation that, no, they're not fitting in with the way I work, you know. And so I always encourage people, especially right now, to look at the blessings of what's around you, the few people around you. You know, people very often with starseeds, well, I've got no friends. I've only got two friends. Well, that's all you need. You know, you don't need millions of friends, because you wouldn't be a starseed if you did, because you wouldn't be able to fit in with their way of thinking. So it's important, you know, and people say, well, you know, it's really lonely. Well, you know, again, your starseed family's there. You can talk to them once you've connected with them 24 hours a day. They're always there, you know, and that's what actually got me through, Marla, to be honest, you know, going bankrupt and all these things. And that I could actually sit and meditate and talk to because they're beings about things. You know, I didn't have to depend on, you know, a human to get a response. And to me, that was a good thing. It may sound a bit sad, but I had it. It was a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's all that matters, really.
Well, absolutely.
You know, as many of the show's listeners follow a path that is kind of nature-based and venerating the ancestors and still kind of practicing the old ways, and the topic of soul family is very important. I mean, in a sense, we are who we are because of our soul families and the ancestors. And as you know, as a healer, my guess is that learning more about our soul families would be very healing and transformative.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and you're right, you know, I mean, you look at ancestors, you know, if you, the problem with the starseed versus, you know, people who are learning again is that the starseed people are very often, because the soul is very different, they have to splice you in at birth to get the right level of DNA so they can sit the soul in your body. So what happens is, you know, like mother's abducted or, you know, either splice the egg and the sperm or both. And so what happens is when you're born, you kind of don't fit in that well with this family. You know, I didn't with mine, you know. And it's difficult to navigate because they think, God, this is weird, you know. You know, where did he get these ideas from? And the answer is, well, you know, you're not from this planet. You know, you've used them, you know, your mother as a vessel to be born here, but very often, you know, either at least half has been spliced in or the whole thing. And so, you know, blood family really doesn't cut the mustard. You know, very often you have to look for soul family, like-minded people who really understand you and you can create relationships with. And that's definitely normally not your blood family, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, people say blood's thicker than water. I don't agree with that. You know, I think nowadays, I think what's important is finding your soul family, people who you can be comfortable with and love, and they love you and they cherish you for who you are. They understand who you are. And I think that's a really important point.
Yeah. So do you think when this healing is taken care of, when we're connecting with the soul families and everything, would you consider that perhaps a form of divine healing?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, because I think, if you think about it, you know, if a lot of starseeds, you know, they get chronically depressed, you know, because they just don't know what to do themselves. You know, I mean, what do? I don't belong here. I don't want to be here. And therefore, you know, to me, it's so important to find your gift. Everyone's got a gift. You know, God gives everyone a gift. And, you know, if you don't find it, it's sad because, you know, you're going to go through life missing some huge passion that you could have actually worked on. And, you know, I find gifts aren't, you know, they're not really a job. It's a gift. It's a way of life. You know, what I do now is a way of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love it. You know, if I wasn't doing it, I'd be lost. I'd probably, go to the woods, grow a long beard, and eat berries and pretend I'm a wizard doing elsewhere. I don't know.
But, another Merlin, right? Yes.
Yeah, another Merlin. But I get excited, you know, seeing the change in people. Every single day we see huge changes in people, and that's what drives me, nothing else really, you know. And the other thing is, you know, if you really focus on the gift, you know, the instrument that you create, like I've got Crystal Metal Ministries and Global Enlightenment Project is a project of it. It's very successful because I don't even think about money, you know. I've heard so many people, for example, when they open a spiritual business, well, I've got to do everything because I can't afford. Well, right there, you've just destroyed it. You know, you can afford it. So, mm-hmm. You know, we pay the accountant $15,000 a year to do all the accounts. Can't count beans. Well, I can count beans, but I'm not interested. I'm not interested in accounts. Not interested in IT anymore. Can I do it? Yeah. Does it frustrate me? Oh, absolutely. So I don't want to do it. So we give it to the IT guy. So everything's, you know, kind of basically put on other people. All I do is just walk in and do the healings. We have over 10 staff, believe it or not. Wow. All I want to do is do the healings. I don't want to do all the, you know, phoning and different things and booking. And I think that's a really important point. Focus on your gift and you'll always have enough to pay other people. And you'll get the joy of actually just, you know, enjoying the gift and it becomes a way of life, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're having a discussion in the chat room because you mentioned that they put souls into the bodies. The question is, who is they?
It depends. I mean, depends on your soul, family, you know. I mean, like I say, if you're Palladian, if you're Melchizedek, you know, there's five Melchizedek beings here. I know every single one. I was born as a Melchizedek being and, you know, like I say, it's our job to do as much as we can while we're here. You know, that's in God's timing. But, you know, they are like Arcturian. If you're Arcturian, you'd be spliced in at birth. So they would abduct your mother on a ship. They would splice you in at birth. So there's enough DNA to get the Arcturian soul in. Where does the soul come from? It comes from Arcturus, normally in the 12th dimension. Melchizedek, you know, Melchizedek's them from the ultimate dimension. So again, they splice you in at birth, your mother is abducted, and I mean, I can't tell my father that. If he said, well, you know, if I don't have your DNA, well, your mother didn't sleep around. I said, no, it's a long story, Dad, don't worry about it. So you have to be careful what you say, you know, but yeah, the souls come from different places, and the creator gods, the Pleiadians, Arcturians, and are kind of responsible for policing the soul recycling. So when someone passes, they, you know, you get a life review, you know, not the star seeds per se, but if you're on a classroom learning exercise, then, you know, you can come back and you can focus on the things you didn't get last time. Mm-hmm. If you're a star seed, you don't even have to be here. You volunteered. So, and there's tons of star seeds here. You know, I help them every day to try and get this inner strength and get back to, you know, their gifts so that they can actually get on a path of joy instead of, oh my goodness, you know, I'm working at, you know, one of these big supermarket stores or something. You know, that's not what a star seed should be doing.
No, well, it's a difficult time now, particularly. But when you do healing, I mean, you perceive energy fields, spirit activity, and multidimensional phenomenon, and you're also able to heal many people, as you said earlier, simultaneously, to kind of rebalance the body's energy field by clearing chakra points and cleansing the body's meridian field, and you remove blockages and negative energies. I mean, it sounds like you cover all bases. I mean, nothing, no stone is unturned.
No, it's not. And it's interesting because, you know, and the way I do it is very different than a lot of people. I don't do hands-on. What we do is use portaling systems. So when I'm doing a healing, first of all, we remove any remote viewers that watch and, you know, connect the energy and feel discombobulated. Once you remove them, I put them in a portal. So 8 portals around them. And then we put 27 esoteric Merkabah fields around them and bond it into the portals. That means that, and the reason why I do that is because there's lots of entities that are trying to manipulate, like, for example, Anunnaki, Draconian, there's, you know, Luciferian, there's Archons, there's first and second dimensional entities like snake beings. They all want to try and, you know, attach to you. Now, of course, in their dimension, they're a being. Here, they're a spirit. So the problem is that if you don't protect somebody, you know, then they can just come and attach and destroy the whole healing. And that even goes after, you know, it's, we have, I don't like the word prayer so much, but they are prayers, but they're maps of intent. And it means that there's protection there, that when we're doing healing, you know, people have to say the prayer three times a day, the 27 Easter at Mokabar Field prayer. That keeps these things out. And then, you know, it allows their vibration to get higher. And the whole point, you know, from my existence really is to help people get back to their sovereign self. You know, I'm no guru. I'd never want to be someone's guru. You are your own guru. And I'm just a facilitator to help you get your vibration up, release a load of emotion, get rid of patterns, you know, help cancer and get rid of that, you know. And once you've done that and you get to this place where you're leaping out of bed in the morning going, oh my God, I feel incredible. That means you're in the God space, you know, and that means you can, you know, you can really connect to your star seed family and start moving forward with your gifts. You know, that's what it's all about, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now you were talking about chakras and the meridian field, and I mean, most of us are familiar with chakras, that's a given. But I, for one, have heard the term meridian field, but I don't know very much about it. So can you fill me in?
Yeah, they're just energy lines through the body. So chakras are obviously in the center line of the body and different mm-hmm. points where energy is, and yeah. you get it blocked. And then you've got also lines through the body that run energy through the body. And that's why sometimes the body gets sick, because if you think about it, if you've got a big old Anunnaki being, it's a reptilian thing, if that attaches to you, what they tend to do is sit in the abdomen, hang on the shoulders, so shoulders get tight. And don't forget, they're a spirit. They're not an actual being here. They're a spirit. So your neck and shoulders get tight. When it sits in the abdomen, it paralyzes the intestines from the end of the rib cage down. It crashes the adrenals, crashes the liver, so you get headaches or heavy head. And it also taps on the lower back, sends negative thoughts. And this is all the depression stuff going on. Mm. Because they're there, and people say, well, why do they do that? Well, because they want to manipulate you. They want to shut you down. They don't want you to get to a high vibration, because it's all about control. So it's quite interesting, you know. So all these maps of intent or prayers and everything we do is just to help people keep themselves clear.
Well, and kind of protection.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to protect yourself, you know. Well, I see so many people go with healings. Well, you had a healing. Well, did you get any, like, protection things? Oh, no. So, of course, within 2 hours, once the energy drops, the things reattach and you're just going backwards. So it's so important to understand that, you know.
Yeah, it really is, as far as energy goes. I mean, we all know this, and don't let the energy go down, because then your immune system goes down. It's all kinds of stuff. But let me get back to the soul family.
Sorry, I'm good.
No, for me. Have most or all of us met any of our soul family without realizing it? And if so, why are these meetings happening?
Well, now, soul family, you know, for example, let's take example relationships. There's soul family, but then there's what I call counterparts. There's also, obviously, twin flames. People talk about twin flames. Oh, I met my twin flame. Oh, well, don't marry them, because you're going to end up in real trouble. You know, because what tends to happen with twin flames is that there's a lot of karma to actually release. And so you meet that person and the karma's released, then it's time to move on. But of course, people don't tend to do that. They tend to get in relationships and then get married and end up in trouble with it. But counterparts is something quite different. And I don't see many people finding their counterparts. And that's because I think it's difficult to navigate and find, because a counterpart is the counter of your part. That means they're very different than you. But you almost merge like one planet from two. You know, when you get together with those people, you become so strong, and so do they. But of course, there's still things to learn, because they're different than you. My wife's the same, and you know, she's very different than me. You know, I'm British. I'm a little OCD and everything else. She's very laid back and whatever. And she's taught me a lot. You know, she's basically taught me to chill out.
It's a very good thing, yes.
Well, it's a good thing, actually. And, you know, I mean, I learned a long time ago, you know, I don't know, when I was younger and in the corporate system, you know, I used to make lists of 20 things I've got to do in a day. Right, I've got to do these. And run out, you do about 3 of them, and then you start shaming yourself. Oh, how could I have not done those 20 things? And of course, nowadays, it's okay. It's all in God's timing. If it doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow or maybe the day after. It doesn't matter. So, you know, I've learned a lot, you know, myself, you know, with this journey. But, you know, people do meet their soul families. And I think when you meet somebody, if they're like-minded, like Arcturians are some of our soul family as well, they work very close with me because they're beings and I can feel them because the people are so tranquil. They're so understanding, so loving. It's great to be around soul family, you know. And I think everyone's got to find some soul family because it is certainly very a very lonely journey, you know, if you don't go looking for, you know, some people to connect to, especially as a starseed, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about how to begin our journey to find our way back home. So everybody stay tuned and we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back, so don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned.
Explore the second edition of the Witch's Oracle deck through 45 innovative cards and enhanced guidebook that peers into the world of the witch. The deck's stunning artwork has a new look and includes 7 brand new inspirational cards. Each card now includes a suggested crystal or gemstone to enhance your reading, as well as a magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The easy-to-navigate guide also has a new look and offers straightforward, gentle guidance that takes readers through both good times and bad. And now includes a chapter on crystal and gemstone divination by the amazing Nicholas Pearson. The Witch's Oracle. It is a perfect divination deck for witches as well as non-pagans and is designed to suit both seasoned readers and beginners alike. Find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck at www.marlabrooks.com, and you can purchase the deck from schifferbooks.com, amazon.com, or order a copy from your favorite bookseller.
New Aeon Now. News and discussion of the metaphysical, the occult, the paranormal, and much, much more. With your hosts, New Aeon High Priestess Reverend Lily Alley, head of the Draken chapter of the Order of Paranormal Exploration, Christine Matza. The New Aeon is now. Join us every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for New Aeon Now.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
My guest tonight is Dr. Christopher Macklin, and we're talking about soul families and all kinds of good stuff. And in order to begin the journey back home, my guess is that it takes a lot more than joining Ancestry.com to do that. Right, Dr. Macklin?
It is, yeah. I think what you have to do is, my opinion is, you want to really get back home if you're an off-planet being, you need to start meditating. And, you know, and people say, well, how do I meditate? It's really just let your mind go. You know, lie in there, let your mind go, stay awake, but, you know, get in a deep trance type, well, trance, deep relaxed state, and just wait. And a lot of people get fed up after about 2 days. Well, they didn't turn up, I don't know what to do. Well, they don't, you know. Like I said before, it's 1 second to 12, so they're going to test you. So I remember, you know, I meditated for about 3 or 4 weeks straight, and nothing happened with me because of that beings. And so one night I lay there, I said, well, I don't care how long it takes, because you know what? I'm going to keep going, and you're going to contact me eventually, regardless, you know, because I had the absolute faith. And fairly soon after that, they did. And, you know, I did some extraordinary things that time. Things changed, and they showed me visions. I went to Belize, to Chanchevich, you know, to power my energy up as well. I've been, you know, to some really interesting places. And I think from that, they showed me, first of all, you know, who I was in past lives. And then from that, they then showed me visions of how things work in the body and cause and effect. Like, for example, leukemia. Why did leukemia happen? And, you know, things like this. And I discovered that about 3 a.m. And I was so excited. I got up, went down to the office and phoned somebody I knew was in England who was still awake. Well, awake because it's, you know, they're 6 hours ahead. And we checked. I was check and cross-check things with people I know are really good at reading, and therefore, you know, you can make sure that you're getting the right information. But it does take, you know, it takes some work, and it takes, I think the other thing as well is, you know, you just, you know, if you feel very depressed and everything, you've got to get yourself turned around into a really good place. You know, we all ingest nowadays. I mean, look at the state of the world. It's not looking quite as good as it probably used to be, to say the least. And so, you know, we kind of ingest hundreds of thousands of layers of emotion, way too much for a human being. And that's why people are getting so anxiety-ridden, PTSD, because of the neurochemical balance, ADD and ADHD. And then you've got depression, you know, don't want to be here. And I think, you know, I kind of understand it, you know, because you don't fit in. So, like I say, it's important to, you know, find your starseed family. To me, is more important than anything. And also connecting with like-minded people who really resonate with you. And there won't be many. You know, you may be lucky to find two people who resonate with you, but they'll love you for who you are. You know, they'll have no judgment that, wow, you know, you're amazing. And they honor you for your gifts, you know. So I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So we're talking about human beings and starseed people are two different things, right? Or
yeah,
do
are.
We all come from there?
No. Well, the difference between starseeds is you've got a soul which is purely from one faction of starseed people, like, for example, Palladian, Atlantarian, Lumerian, Andromedan. You know, you've got Sirius A and B, you've got Melchizedek, so, you know, and others, Lyran. So, you know, a starseed, the soul will be completely from there, and you will be kind of spliced in to, you know, and the reason, like I say, where they splice you is to get enough DNA of that race to make sure that, you know, the soul can get through, because very often a soul will, from a starseed race, won't sit in a normal body. It has to be adapted.
So, okay, so the starseed people that are down here can recognize their soul families as starseed families, but humans can't?
Well, humans can, because, you know, the creator gods like Palladians, they will have a soul that's been put in, you know, from Pallades or whatever, and it's recycled. So, you know, like I say, they have... there tend to be a lot younger souls, and therefore they've come down here to learn, because it's a classroom. It's a pretty extreme classroom, but
yes.
it's a classroom. So, you know, they'll come back several times. They don't have to come back, but of course they choose to come back. Oh, well, I want to work on this time. I'll work on that. And they may be back here 100,000 times, who knows, you know, until they reach what they call, in quotes, you know, enlightenment, the God space, whatever you want to call it. And once you've got it and you've let go of all the negativity, of all the hatred and everything else, and you just understand there is no judgment, you know. I mean, some of our prayers, you know, we always say, oh, I bring them before God for justice in only the way you know how. It's not for us to judge them, therefore we release them to you with unconditional love and forgiveness. I never judge anybody, you know, that's one thing I've learned. Never judge anybody, because it's their deal. Do you want them in your space? Maybe not, you know, but that's an observation. No, they're not good for me. So, you know, let's set a boundary. But you can love people even with boundaries. You know, it's important to set boundaries. So mm-hmm. I think certainly, and of course, you know, you've also got starseed races of the same type. Like, for example, Arcturians. I've met a lot of Arcturians. We're very close, you know, because Arcturians work a lot with Melchizedek, and it's got the right energy. So it's important, I think, you know, if you're looking for your starseed family physically down here, you'll just connect with them. You know, you just know. And you think, wow, you know, I see so many people sometimes, and, you know, don't think they're going to be normal people. A lot of them really struggle and, you know, go south on their journey. You know, maybe they've been on some sort of drug or something, because... And people judge them, oh, God, they've been on drugs, oh, dreadful. Do you know what? You know, in this world, if you're a starseed, it's a form of escape, and I see it as a different way. Is it good? No. But, you know, what you've got to do is you've got to replace that with the passion and with something different, you know. So once you find your passion, you don't need all that stuff, because you'll be excited about, you know, leaping out of bed in the morning, going, oh, my God, I'm looking forward to the day. It's brilliant, you know. So important to find your passion, your mm-hmm. gift.
Oh, absolutely it is. So how do we get started if we're looking for our soul families? How do we get started? Meditation, is that the...
Meditation, to me, is the biggest thing. And I think, okay. You know, people say, which meditation should I use? That's not meditation, in my opinion. That's kind of guided. You know, you need to use your own meditation. I think One thing I've learned from people is it's very hard for them to let their mind go because, of course, you know, what do I do about the bill next week or something? You know, what you've got to do is let your mind go and just say, okay, I'm ready to receive you, you know, and just hold that space and don't expect it to happen overnight because I know people can get pretty kind of that they have little, time and they just want it all to happen now. Well, it doesn't happen. It happens in God's timing. And again, that's one thing I learned. God's timing is who knows when, you know. All you have to do is let your mind go and don't get anxious or anything else about it. Just let it go. And, you know, as soon as they see you in a restful place, you've got no anxiety, you're just excited to meet them. And, you know, you putting the effort in is a big one. Mm-hmm. And it sounds quite brutal sometimes because I know because, I talk to them a lot. And they kind of say, well, you know, we need to see whether you're going to show up because it sounds brutal, but they don't waste their time with people who aren't going to show up. If you meditate 2 days, well, okay, that's great. But then, okay, I'm running off now. I'm doing other things in the third dimensional world. But if you're meditating for several weeks and, you know, want to seek your star soul family, star seed family, whatever it is, then, you know, they'll show up. They'll definitely show up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in general, meditation doesn't, I mean, it's calming for whatever reason that you're doing it. Like you said, nothing happens overnight. So you have to be patient. It's like scrying, you know, if you have a crystal ball in front of you and, you know, you can't see things going on and right away. So, but I think we're all impatient about things. And so it's kind of hard to, if it doesn't work, then you get discouraged and you walk away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a lady last week. She said, well, you know, I meditated for 4 nights. They didn't show up. Oh, well, okay. Well, that's not very long, is it? I said, it took me at least probably 3 months. But when they connect, it's huge, you know, some extraordinary things can happen, you know, like vortexes of energy. I've seen it, you know. I remember when I was in Enfield, just outside London, and, you know, I rented this room and I was lying on the bed and meditating and suddenly, you know, they switched some things on. What was interesting is I saw a vortex of energy that looked like big raindrops, like probably about 3 or 4 inches big, and it was coming in a vortex and I was just fascinated by this. Mm-hmm. I got a bit worried at one point thinking, is it raining? Because it was that clear. And I just let it happen for 4 hours. And that was kind of, you know, sending me some energies to upgrade me and things like that. So, you know, once they start upgrading you, doing things, you're going to see some extraordinary things happen. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the intent that you put in it is what you receive. You know, if you're half catered, whatever. It just won't work. You have to know what you want. You have to go after it, and you have to be honest about it in your soul.
Absolutely, with full intent. Like, well, I'm not going to stop because you're going to contact me full stop. I know you are. So I said to them, because they're beings, that, you know, you're going to contact me eventually. So I'm just doing it, you know. And, you know, and very quickly after, it all took off. It was amazing.
So people have to do it themselves. They can't have somebody enter the scene and kind of help. It has to come from ourselves personally, right?
It does, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the healings we do really helps people get their vibration up. Because, of course, if your vibration's up and you're feeling amazing and you're feeling empowered, that's truly a different game changer because they're going to see, like, you've done a lot of self-work. You know, you've released a lot of emotion. You're meditating. You know, you're really, you know, empowered. You've got your sovereign being back, and you've taken your power back. That's a really important thing because it will happen, I think, a lot faster because they'll know that, you know, you're on the right track. You know, if you've got somebody who's powerless, oh, well, woe is me, I haven't got any money, I haven't got this. And how many times do you hear, well, you know, and again, it's not a crisp observation. I'm super spiritual, you know, I'm broke, I don't feel very well, but of course, you know, I'm super spiritual, but everyone is. Well, I don't agree with that. You know, I think if you're really up there and you really get it, you'll never be broke. And of course, I've been broke in my time because I just didn't get it. I was powerless. But, you know, we're never broke. We've always got enough. And, you know, one thing the bankruptcy learned me is that just be even grateful for a plate of food each day because, wow, a lot of people don't have that, you know. You know, so it's really interesting.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit because I want you to talk a little bit about the Global Enlightenment Project.
Well, the Global Enlightenment Project, we founded it 4 years ago. We had Crystal Macklin Ministries. That's a ministry. It's 501c3. And the Global Enlightenment Project was born out of that. And it's basically a project to help enlighten the planet. You might think, oh, well, whatever, you know. So, but what's interesting, yeah, it wants to, another one wants to enlighten the planet. Well, I work very closely with the Arcturians. There's five Melchizedek beings there. There's a lot of Arcturians here. But on the 12th dimension, they're building off-planet pyramids. Why are they doing that? Well, there's a lot of very satanic negative stuff in the world. And so what we plan to do is that, you know, these three pyramids, one's 1,000 feet tall, one's over 666 feet tall, one's 333 feet tall. They're going to be put on the golden curve. The final one, the largest one, is going to be put on the ley line. It'll flush out the ley line. And they're not just standard pyramids like Giza. They're Stargate pyramids. They're built on Moldavite. They're huge things, you know. So they're actually building them. They're going to transfer them here at particular times. But it's our responsibility to buy the land and also create an infrastructure, because you can imagine, you know, if pyramids just start appearing somewhere, people are going to want to come and see them. Like, oh, this is God stuff, you know, I want to go and see them. So, you know, it's obviously important to create an infrastructure so people can get food and, you know, they can get a drink and we can move them around the pyramids. And, you know, so we're going to create probably one of the biggest spiritual centers, you know, that's ever been. You know, it's probably going to be about, I don't know, 120,000 acres, who knows. But, you know, it's a huge project. It's billions of dollars. Do I have the money? Absolutely not, you know, but God's creating it. We've got some really top banking people who really love our idea and want to fund it. So, you know, that's starting to happen as we speak. Yeah, so it's an exciting project. But I think the other thing about it as well is there's obviously a reptilian element to this planet. And the good thing about the pyramids, reptilians live in a low vibrational place. And so this will help cleanse the planet of them as well. They'll have to leave. They can't stay in a high vibrational state. So the level of manipulation for the human race will exponentially plummet to virtually zero. So it'll bring the planet back to this, you know, loving place that it should be. And I think that's an important thing. So so we're working on that at the moment.
Yeah, well, that sounds really good. Now, you have a lot of books out there, too. You want to kind of let everybody know about your books?
Yeah, I've got the first book I wrote, and I've got to confess that, you know, I dictated them, but I didn't write them.
Well, that's a dyslexic thing going on, yeah.
It's funny because all the ghostwriters I work with, yeah, and the speller, I mean, if I pull them out, then what the heck is this? It's from a two-year-old. But, yeah, we wrote the books. I mean, there's one called Dissolving the Enigma of Divine Healing. I have one about the history, truth, and healing of manufactured diseases, HIV/AIDS, Agent Orange, Gulf War Syndrome, Morgellons, and Lyme. That goes into the history and how it evolves and how we do it. We've got a really good one called Centering the Minds, which is basically, you know, talking about centering the mind, getting out of this, you know, rat race and actually get into a really peaceful place and doing exercises so that that can really help people. We've got Manifesting an Abundant Life, talking about the God space, talking about getting your vibration up and changing the patterns of wording for everything. Because word, of course, you know, spelling is spells. And so, you know, it's very important to choose your words so carefully to create the right positive, you know, structure of words so that you can manifest things. So we've got a few books out.
Yeah, and they are, well, they can be found at your website, which is?
It's www.globalenlightenmentproject.com.
And what else can they find on the website?
We've got a ton of meditations for different things. We've got the brain series that helps ADD, ADHD. We work a lot with psychiatrists and psychologists who use these things to help their clients. We've got meditations for detoxing. We've got a ton of meditations. We've also got crystals. The latest one we produced actually is interesting because a lot of people aren't sleeping that well at the moment. And the reason is because the reptilian element tries to ride in when, as you're just about to enter your body or you're leaving your body. Because when you go traveling at night, you know, a lot of people go traveling and they go to learn things or, you know, they make quick scenarios to help them release emotion. As they're coming back from the sleep state or going out of the sleep state, these reptilian things try and interfere. So we created a pyramid. We've got literally an amethyst pyramid. It's about 3 inches square. Put it under the bed, line it north, south, east, and west, and the meditation activates it. it expands the energy around the bed, so it actually protects you when you're entering or leaving, you know, sleep state, which is really good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things there, you know, and there's also all the prayers are on there as well. If you need protection prayers, they've got them all. You know, they've got spiritual attack prayers. If you feel as though you're being attacked by, you know, black magic or something like that. You know, we've covered a lot of things, just, you know, they're instruments to help people, you know.
Yeah, and one thing that people should know is that you conduct a free global meditation healing 3 times a week, and they can sign up for it on your website.
Absolutely, yeah. We do that Monday, 9 o'clock Central Time, Thursday, 5 p.m. Central Time, and Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time. Now, you know, we always say by donation, but it's basically, I always tell people, look, don't shame yourself. If you've got no money, please come on them, because it's going to really help you. And, you know, I've been there, got the T-shirt on having no money. So to me, it's really important as a 501c3 charity to make sure that we give back and allow people. We have something like 20,000 people looking at the YouTube one, and probably about 10,000 looking at the Facebook one. 3 times a week. So there's a lot of people participate. A lot of people get the benefit out of it. That's really important to me.
So it's a meditation healing. So are you doing a visualization for them while they're meditating, or how does that work?
No, it's really a healing. I mean, what I do is basically ground, get everyone to ground themselves. And then what I do is put the portal around, remove any entities, and then we start working on the liver, the kidneys, work on the brain. We work on the GI. It takes about an hour. Work on the spine, you know, we replace any discs. They do spine alignment. It's all psychic surgery. And then they detox the body. We do 27 heart chakra releases. We work on the womb. We work on the prostate, you know, work on cancer tumors. So it covers everything. You know, it's quite comprehensive. People are blown away by it. So, you know, I encourage people, please, you know, come on. If you don't like it, you can switch it off, you know, but you got nothing to lose.
Yeah, so doing all those healings 3 times a week, how do you keep from getting drained? Because that is, you know, that is draining.
Well, it is a lot, and don't forget we do those. We also do specialized groups. We have up to 20 people. So Monday I do a specialized group in the evening, Tuesday specialized group in the afternoon. Thursday, 2 specialized groups, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and Friday, specialized group. And then in between that, I do one-to-one sessions. So on Monday and Tuesday, I work on about 18 people one-to-one. We actually phone them up, work on them. So it's a ton of work, but it's funny because I do get empowered by it. I think there's twofold. One is that I don't give my energy away. We use portals. And so the portals, the keys of that beings can switch the energy on through the portal so it doesn't use my energy. Of course, you know, you're focusing. I mean, you know, a very important point I want to, you know, bring up maybe if I can is that a lot of people always say, oh, healing is all God, it's nothing to do with me. Well, that's not the case, you know, because if I didn't show up all these sessions a week, then nothing would happen. So I prefer to change that to, thank you, God, for the blessing of my gift. And, you know, I'm an active participant as the conductor of the orchestra, you know. So without the conductor, the orchestra just falls over because they can't do anything. So always encourage people to, you know, thank God for their beautiful gifts they've got, rather than, oh, it's nothing to do with me, it's all God, because that's not the case, you know. You know, you have to show up and it's a lot of work. But, you know, I just get encouraged, I think. I mean, do I get tired? Of course, you know, anyone would be tired. I mean, I'm 59 going on 31, but, you know.
And, is that regular years or yeah?
Yeah. Well, I keep having a laugh because my wife's 40 and I'm 59. And, you know, I always say, well, I only dyed my hair metallic silver because apparently it's the in thing. So, but no, I mean, it's a lot of work. But, you know, again, if you get the passion for it, you just get excited about doing it. And therefore, it gives you the drive, you know.
Yeah, because I know people that do healing, like Reiki healing and stuff, and, you know, they have to recharge after they do it because it is so draining. But with you, you just explained, it's just almost the opposite. It's you're feeding yourself good stuff while you're giving it at the same time.
Well, I always encourage people to use, you know, portaling systems are really important, because if someone's at a portal, you're not touching the energy. They're not sucking the energy out of you, you know, they're actually getting the energy from off-planet, you know, dimensions, and which is great because there's bountifuls of it. So, and that's important to me, you know, and I think, you know, it keeps your energy intact. So, of course, I must get some energy from the Melchizedek beings, but yeah, we do a lot of work. I couldn't do, if I was doing one-to-one sessions, I don't think I could do it, because like you say, you're touching people, you know, you put your hand on their head or whatever, and I think that would drain you a lot.
Yeah, well, even the ones that don't put hands on, it's still sending out your energy to heal somebody. So yeah, it's crazy. Got one more quick question because we have to go pretty soon. I was reading in all the great stuff that your publicist sent over, and there was something about the galactic family. Now, is that the same as what we were talking about tonight with seeding?
Yeah, star seeds. Yeah, absolutely. The galactic family.
Okay.
That's the ones I'd encourage people to connect to. I mean, of course, connect to human beings who are of your starseed family down here, because that's important, you know, created a community.
But we have to figure out who they are. How do we recognize them?
Well, what you need to do first is meditate. And it's funny because I always get people every week, well, can you tell me my starseed family is? Well, no, you've got to work it out for yourself. Well, how do I do that? Well, that comes with the meditation, because as soon as they connect with you, they say, well, we're Palladian or we're Arcturian, we're part of your starseed family, we're here and we're going to help you, and you'll know who your guides are from there, you know.
Okay, so they identify themselves to us.
We don't have
to second guess it.
No, and they'll tell you, you know, it's almost like, hearing it in your head, you know, they'll make themselves aware, you'll know where you're from, and mm-hmm. then from that, or, you know, the other thing you could do is douse. If you know how to douse.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of people don't have the faith, I think, to be able to douse. They second-guess themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the intuition is the first thought or the first feeling in your gut you ever get is the right one. After that, it could be, you know, it can go off because your mind can get too involved. And so mm-hmm. it's really important to, you know, maybe, you know, I'd encourage people to do dousing or, you know, intuition and maybe, mm-hmm. you know, do exercises with it, you know, check this, check that. Oh, was I right? Oh, yeah, you know, because you get the faith by trying it, you know.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Do you have a YouTube channel that you'd like to talk about or give out?
Yeah, YouTube is globalalignmentproject.com, Facebook the same. So if you have a look at that, all the healings are on. There's also, you know, announcements and things like that. And all the healings are taped on YouTube. So it means that, you know, because I set the intent, anyone listening now and in the future will get the healing. So you can use the YouTube, you know, videos as many times as you want. We've got thousands of them on there, I think. So
there you go. All right. And I want to thank you for spending some time with us tonight. Like we were talking about earlier, the hour goes by really quickly.
It really does. Oh, thanks for having me on, Marla. It's been absolutely wonderful. Bless your heart.
Well, my pleasure. And we want to thank everybody who's listening in as well.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.